Good morning, honorable members. I'm sure we can start with our meeting for today. I feel a bit lost because I haven't been here for some time. Disorientated. Honorable members, today we're going to discuss the strategic plan or business plan of the committee. And our researcher, Mr. Salman, is going to lead us on that. But before he leads us on that, I just wanted to say I watched the proceedings of Parliament while I was at home off ill, and also our debate. I was so proud to hear all the speeches from all the parties raising issues that were pertinent. I must say I do appreciate having a team like you. And also like to thank you, members, for all the messages that you sent over, and even the speeches, there were messages of Get Well. I want to thank you, and I do appreciate. Without any waste of time, we will give over to Mr. Salman to take us through our business plan. Dr. Salman.
Thank you, ma'am. Good morning, members. So the display is a bit small, so it'd probably be best if you work from your physical documents, and I'll indicate the page numbers so that we are all on the same page. So basically the exercise is to give you our, what we've done, just in terms of what we know needs to be done, and what the issues are from an administrative perspective, and then the members can add from their perspective whether they want to add or subtract anything from this. From this strategic plan, which is something this is actually a business plan, because Parliament has a strategic plan that comes out every year, and then each committee has to come up with a business plan. So this is how we plan to implement Parliament's functions as they relate to the government departments and entities that we deal with. I'm sorry, I also have a little bit of a flu, so you'll excuse me if I keep clearing my throat. Okay, so we can start on page, start with the table of contents. Over here, the core objective on page 5, I think. On three, sorry. So basically, this member should be fairly, I'm just going to briefly run through the generic part of the strategic plan, which is one that all committees have in their strategic plans, which basically just gives the overview of what Parliament's roles and functions are. And then we'll go into the nitty-gritty of our committee and specific initiatives that we could aspire to in the year. Okay, so a lot of this is just an introduction and the history of Parliament. The main things over there are those functions on page 4, which is function 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, where you, the role of Parliament basically is to pass legislation, to scrutinize and oversee executive action, to facilitate public participation, and to participate and oversee cooperative governments, and to engage and participate in international oversight and international relations. The mission of Parliament, just to refresh our memories, on the bottom of page 4 there is, as a freely elected representative of the people of South Africa, our mission is to represent and act as a voice of the people in fulfilling our constitutional functions of passing laws and overseeing executive action. Okay, so we can move on to page 6. The core objectives, those five functions that Parliament has are then elaborated on. The functions we are all familiar with is the passing of laws and the overseeing of executive action. Executive action includes the regular activities of the committee, as we're all familiar with, such as the overseeing of their strategic plans and their annual reports, and their budget proposals and the like. If you go to objective 3 on page 5, so my page numbers are different here according to this thing. But basically, from core objective 3, public participation and involvement is largely to do around the legislative process and getting public participation and public hearings on legislation. But the regular activities of members, whether it's in outreach programs, radio programs, broadcasts, television broadcasts, publications, newsletters, promotional material, the website, People's Assembly, and taking Parliament to the people are all things that Parliament engages in, and members also in their incapacity. Cooperative government is another thing. It's basically getting that all the different spheres and tiers of government work together, so that the legislative cooperates with the administrative and with the judicial, and also that national, provincial, and local all bear each other in mind when they make decisions. So that's kind of an overarching theme of all of the work of Parliament. And then core objective 5, engage in and participate in international relations. So that includes not only going on international trips, but also engaging with international fora when they have relevance to the work of the committee and also international organizations. So just listed here are the ACPF, which is the African Caribbean Pacific European Union Forum, the Commonwealth Parliamentary Association, Pan-African Parliament, and the SADC Parliamentary Forum. This will have relevance for this year in that the committee, on behalf of the chair, has been pushing quite a bit for us to get involved in election monitoring and observing. So that might come as part of our functions this year. Also interacting with international organizations such as the UN and the World Bank and the like when they have relevance to our committee. Strategic objectives, going on to the next page. As far as structure is concerned, I'll just push that onto the next page to make it look better. That basically just goes into the history of Parliament and some of the major developments. We all should be fairly familiar with that. The one thing that still has to be amended is this. I'm still awaiting that from the planning section. They have a standard paragraph here that applies to what the general priorities are for the year, and this one's still for 2011, and I'll update that for next week when we finalize this report. The key issues are also, again, standardized from last year, but the core objectives that arise are outstanding legislation, of which there are two that we can consider this year, which I'll get into. Developments in the oversight process, so there's an oversight manual that's being updated and that could come into force this year. Increased international participation, which we've already done in the sense that we've conducted an international trip for the first time in a long time. And developments in cooperative government processes, so yeah, we have to basically just keep an eye on developments in the government. Intergovernmental relations, so that we keep on the same page as development and government. One of those, for instance, is the National Planning Commission has brought out their 2030 vision for the country, which will have an impact on our report, as we'll see a little bit later. Further development and implementation of institutional policies to guide implementation. Parliamentary policies and divisional policies, this year is that there's quite a bit of debate, an ongoing debate on the restructuring of the administrative side of Parliament, which will have might have an impact this year. So you might see a restructuring of the way the Parliament is organised, and members may be party to those deliberations. The development of implementation of modern institutional systems and technologies, functional systems, management systems, and a review of the MSP. What could be coming in this year is that Parliament has implemented an area-wide Wi-Fi, which might be accessible to members, and also the trying to move towards more video conferencing in meetings. So there is the possibility of having meetings with other international parties or local parties using video conferencing as opposed to having physical meetings. So that's one of the things that there might happen this year in that sense. Okay, then increasing capacity of members, that's just ongoing training and institutional culture and communication. Yeah, basically just the internal newspapers and internal websites of Parliament, and needing to keep an eye on that for relevant developments. Providing a working environment, enabling the delivery of services. That kind of applies more to the administrative side of Parliament. So that's not really of concern for us. The vision, so the new vision was drafted at the end of 2010. And so I'll just quickly run through that because it's going to have relevance to us in the next couple of years. So in terms of that, the vision was to build an effective people's parliament that is responsive to the needs of the people and that is driven by the ideal of realizing a better life for all the people in the country. And what this means is these bullets over here. A people's parliament to transform an entire society, establishing a society based on democratic values, social justice, and fundamental human rights. A people's parliament of freely elected representatives, building on the foundation of a democratic and open society based on the will of the people, their participation and access to parliament. A people's parliament providing a national forum for public consideration of issues, which includes educating, informing and involving people of South Africa in its processes and acting as a voice of the people. The people's parliament cooperating with other spheres of government as it deepens and entrenches our democratic values. A people's parliament working with continental and international bodies to create a new democratic and participatory world order. A people's parliament passing good laws and scrutinizing and overseeing executive action as it moves to improve the quality of life of the people of South Africa, being a united and democratic South Africa. So all of those are then gone into further detail in the following pages. So we can go on to the values and policies, which I'll also move on to the following page. So just to recap again, as I'm sure the members are aware, the basic values of Parliament are constitutionality, people-centeredness, cooperative government, and professional and good governance and institutional governance. And then, in turn, those are elaborated on in more detail. If members wish to recap, just to reorientate ourselves. And then lastly, in the generic part of the strategic plan, it's just a list of the internal policies that apply to Parliament, both to administrative and political members of the organization. So those are just there for your reference. Then we'll go into the specifics of the committee, just from the next page. And what I've done there is taken out the five priorities as identified in the State of the Nation address, which we'll go through in detail when we go into the actual strategic plan. Then the overview of quality assurance. These are just general areas that need to be considered when in the work of the committee. The overview of quality assurance, ensuring the security and accuracy of data and all documents. Basically, that's just a requirement that the quality of the documents that go out in the public sphere are of a high quality and are suitably edited and the like. That we need to monitor information and communication technology constraints. So constantly developing and using the best technologies as and when they're available for our work. And scrutinize legal migrant and refugee document delivery times, which is an ongoing issue now. So this over here, I think, is a specific issue which actually should... I think it was left over from the previous year. So we might take that out and rather have more general issues here because the specifics are the ones that go into details are in the strategic plan, so we might take that out. Okay, possible legislation of relevance to the committee. So the committee, the Home Affairs actually indicated that there won't be any legislation coming through this year, that we won't actually be amending legislation, but there might be debates on the content of legislation coming in the following year. And so I've just given a list of immigration or like of legislation that could come up in debate, even though we won't actually be working on that legislation per se. There might be some consideration of the trafficking bill, and we'll get back to that again. The Electoral Commission was considering formalizing its international engagements. The Marriage Amendment Bill was supposed to be done in 2009, but was never completed, or was never tabled. There was a mention of an Identification Act, the drafting of an immigration policy, and the prevention of child pornography legislation, but that also to be in the long term. That's not something that will necessarily come up this year. So now we move on to the template for how all the strategic or all the business plans of Parliament are structured. And so you'll see those five objectives that we went through earlier are the main parts of the document that we're going to populate from the following page. And then these are the main tasks that are conducted in completing those objects. And those are comprised of various activities, which we'll again see now when we go through the actual business plan of the committee, which starts from the next page. So this page is not so busy because, as I indicated, the department has indicated that they don't foresee passing any legislation this year. They're in the process of coming up with various pieces of legislation, but they'll all likely to only be tabled at the end of this financial year, which means we'll only probably debate them at the beginning of the following financial year. So the only thing that we might have to deal with or might have to consider this year is a draft immigration policy, which is a broader policy document.
Sorry, Madam Chair, can I just ask, KPI?
Yes.
KPI?
Key Performance Indicator. So basically, you know, the actual physical activities you're going to do to implement that task or output. So the immigration policy, as you might be aware, is the policy that says how the various pieces of legislation will fit together. So it's not only refugee legislation and immigration legislation, but also how that impacts on trade policy, how that impacts on various other aspects of society. And so there's an overarching policy that the minister said is busy being formulated. So we might as well engage with that policy document in the course of the year. But it's not legislation per se, but it has implications for legislation. So then we can move on to the next page. So this is relating to the conducting of oversight. So what we've done in the main tasks here is that we've identified the key priorities that apply to the committee as identified by the president for this year. So the first set of five bullets here are from the State of the Nation address. And then the last, I'm having difficulty showing this on the page, but the last bit today is from the National Development Plan Vision 2030, which is from the National Planning Commission, which has come up with this long-term vision for the country, and they've identified basically major obstacles to our development goals, and they've briefed a lot of the committees. I don't think they've briefed our committee per se, but they've briefed the cluster that our committee is on. So some of the chairpersons, I think, have been briefed on these impediments to the national development. So that's something that we basically, all these issues are the kinds of issues that we need to specifically consider whilst conducting our oversight during the year. So whilst we are looking at budget, while we're looking at annual reports, when we're going on oversight, these are the kinds of things that we can keep an eye open for. And those, to briefly go through them, is the needing to improve border crossings, port capacity, and information communication technology as part of regional trade corridors. So it's not only improving them, but improving them in a way that makes for better international relations and better trade. Advocating for improved DHA infrastructure as part of the initiatives of the Presidential Infrastructure Commission. So the President has set up this new infrastructure commission and a summit that for which we can push the infrastructure needs of the department, such as, you know, building new accommodation at the borders, or making more long-term offices, or whatever it is. Depending on your consistency work, you'll know where the infrastructure needs are. Improving national security, fraud detection and prevention through online verification of identities such as fingerprints. So that's just the basically the implication for this will be the monitoring of the expansion of the online verification capacity through all government departments. Basically, these all come from the State of the Nation address document, that which we worked through earlier. You know, basically, when we had the State of the Nation address, we went through all of this already. I'm just recapping. The updating of needed scarce foreign skills list and speeding up of visa provision in line with the required technical and engineering capacity needs for large infrastructure projects. So the DHO, as we know, was already lagging a little bit behind in terms of the minister's goals for having 50,000 skill permits coming into the country. So they were already lagging a little bit behind on that. But the specific interest this year is people who are going to help with building infrastructure. So we need to specifically check that there's increased effort or increased initiatives to bring in scarce skills related to infrastructure. And then job creation through meaningful economic transformation. Basically, this is an ongoing thing of job creation continued from last year. So the department still having to fill about 13% of its vacancies. So that will be an ongoing theme for this year. I'm just going to see if I can get out of this. I'm having a bit of difficulty opening it. Okay, bear with me for a second. Okay, yeah, so then the National Development Plan. So these are the main things that the National Development Plan Vision 2030, which the presidency released at the end of last year, came up with. These are the main obstacles to our development goals. And so these are negative statements, but we need to consider how we can make them positive, have a positive impact by considering these obstacles. Okay, so the first is that too few people work. So it's not only unemployment, but it's also underemployment, people not working full-time, or people not wanting to find work. The standard of education of most black learners is of low quality, so there's still the need for increased teaching capacity, increased monitoring of teachers, that kind of thing. The impact on home affairs here will obviously be on the importing of maths and science teachers, for instance. Infrastructure is poorly located and maintained, and insufficient to foster higher growth. So this is not only, this is about the expansion of the DHA footprint as it relates to us. You know, how many new offices are they building? How quickly are they being built? How do they look? What are their IT capacities? That kind of thing. Spatial patterns exclude the poor from development. So basically, there's a focus on the urban centers, and not sufficient development in the rural areas. So when conducting our oversight trips, this year there will be two, we have to look at some of the more rural offices as to see where the obstacles are for MFAs in that regard. The economy is overly and unsustainably resource intensive, so this doesn't really apply to us, but it basically implies that the government departments need to become more efficient and effective, and also have to have environmental considerations, like, you know, cutting down on energy consumption, cutting down on paper use, and that kind of thing. Corruption is widespread. I mean, we're all familiar with this issue, and will be a continued concern as we monitor the department. And then South Africa remains a divided society. the importance of this here for the committee is particularly around xenophobia and the outreach programs of the department in terms of promoting and preventing xenophobia, and also on finding ways of integrating migrants in various communities, which is not only the role of the Department of Home Affairs, but they do play a role in it. Okay, so I'm just going to go back to full screen. And so each of those obviously have activities that are pretty standard, such as looking at the annual, the strategic plans, tabling of our reports, coming up with themes, and also having such strategic discussions as we're having now, the analyzing of budgets, the looking at various reports as they emanate from the department and their entities, looking at annual reports and conducting oversight. So I think what will be, we can, does also standardize, if you go to the KPIs, the key performance indicators, it just says more or less when these things happen throughout the year. We've, as indicated over here, we've already conducted the analysis or the consideration of the strategic plan and budget of the department in April and May this year. But the themes that will continue, that we'll need to continue monitoring in terms of what the president has identified, is keeping an eye on ICT, infrastructure at border posts, DHA offices, the expansion of DHA offices, checking of duplicate IDs and uncollected IDs, which is the security consideration, late registration of birth and backlog of permits, which has development implications, and then the monitoring of the smart card pilot from this year, which is also a security consideration. Then that will, which will bear the National Planning Commission's recommendations in mind, and that will also perhaps recommend that at some stage the presidency or the National Planning Commission comes and presents to the committee and says what the specific implications for the committee are, or at least give us a document in that regard. And then we suggested here that there'll be, we usually conduct two local oversight trips, and the two outstanding provinces that we haven't covered in the past couple of years is KwaZulu-Natal and Eastern Cape. There's also Northern Cape, but Northern Cape, it's so big that we might actually cut it up in two and do it the following year, you know, do two different parts of the Northern Cape, because it's a vast region. So this year, again, it's a suggestion, and members can add or take away if they please, that we'll do KwaZulu-Natal in June, and then the Eastern Cape in March the following year, which is the end of the financial year. Those are the two periods that we have time for. There are other times, but there's other things that we need those times for, which we'll come to later. So that's just a suggestion at this stage. So then we can move on to the next page. The facilitation of public participation and involvement. This again, it usually depends on how much legislation is being tabled. But given the fact that there isn't anything being tabled, what we've indicated here is that it depends on the tabling of legislation. So if the department does decide at the last minute, at the end of the year, to table legislation, then we will have more public participation and public hearings. But also what I've added, which you don't have in your copy, is policy. That this immigration policy might require some kind of public forum to invite the public to give their opinions on the draft version of that document, which could happen. And then just in terms of members, one of the responsibilities that members have when they're doing their constituency work is just, you know, keeping the public involved and making sure that their issues are, that you're aware of their issues. So That falls under this part of the strategic plan. So you'll do that in your own capacity, but this is where it falls into the strategic or the business plan. Okay, we can then move on to the facilitating of cooperative government. This first one over here, basically just we've already done, in the sense that we've now considered the State of the Nation address and the Presidential Planning Commission in terms of making sure that our processes are in line with the processes of the rest of government. monitoring of HR constraints and the progress on job creation and attracting skills. The reason this is here is that Home Affairs sometimes has an impact on other government departments who can't get their scarce skills or need their scarce skills from foreigners. So if, for instance, GPW or needs printer people, or if the DPSA needs high-level administrators that we don't have in the country, then it's indirectly a result of the work of DHA. And then the two areas where we might have to interact with other departments this year is we might have to engage the Department of Public Works and DPW on the special dispensation, this idea where they need to get special pay because they have scarce skills. So that's something that they've set as a criteria for their annual report, for their plan this year. So we'll have to engage with the DPSA and DPW at some stage during the year, if nothing happens. If something happens, then well, we can still engage with them. Then engaging with the Minister of Home Affairs on the impact of the trafficking bill, because as it stands now, the one outstanding issue on the trafficking bill, even though it's dealt with by the Committee on Constitutional Development and Justice, is a matter of needing to give permits to witnesses, people who are witnesses in trafficking crimes. So the last obstacle for completing that piece of legislation is with Home Affairs, and it's actually sitting with the Minister, as I understand. So if that legislation takes too long to go through, then we'll have to have a report back from the Minister on the obstacles. Yeah. If you go further down, international legislation, from what I can see, there won't be anything new coming up this year that will have an impact on the committee. But there was talk of that from the IEC of the need to formalize their international engagement on the continent. So they have at this stage only a memorandum of understanding with DERCO on how they help with the elections in the rest of the continent. But it's not a formal agreement, and they were saying they needed to be more structured and more formal. So it's possible that they might have to establish some kind of international agreement, particularly with Libya, because I believe they've been asked to assist Libya with establishing their electoral commission. So then over here we've basically just said who we're gonna engage with. The rest of those are pretty standard. Basically just saying who we need to oversee and when more or less it happens during the year and who will be involved. Okay, so we can move on to the next page, which is also just a continuation from the previous page, but I think my document is slightly different in the full screen view. There's no public office there, as far as I know, coming this year, so we wouldn't have to do anything on that. And then the last page is, through core members have said that, the chairperson has also said that there's a need for this committee to be more involved in election observer missions because of our elections being one of our responsibilities. So what I've given here is a list of the elections that are likely to happen this year. Some of the dates aren't confirmed, so you'll see they're TBC to be confirmed, but we know more or less the month when they're going to be. So this is a list of the international elections that we could possibly send a delegation to observe, either as part of the static PF or as part of a static group, or perhaps even just as an independent group, which is also possible. And then in addition to that, there's two conferences this year, and there might be more, but these are the ones that we're aware of at this stage, which members might want to attend. The one is an African Renaissance Conference, and the relevance for Home Affairs, and this is at the end of May, so that's quite soon. the relevance for members here, I've actually got the conference website open here, is basically consideration of improving regional trade barriers. So make this whole thing of infrastructure development on at the borders and improving regional trade will have a home affairs impact. Like home affairs has to interact better with other parties at the border and with international partners to make sure that the trade and the movement of people is facilitated for development of the continent. So all those kinds of issues, like home affairs issues, trade and industry issues, DIRCO, international relations issues, all those kinds of things are being discussed at this conference. And it's also like an African, it's a good networking place to interact with people involved in similar things on the continent. So that's happening in Durban on the 24th and 25th of May. So we could maybe motivate to either go or to at least send a delegation. Then the other conference was the Conference of African Ministers Responsible for Civil Registration, which is the conference that the minister mentioned. And this is a good opportunity for members to be involved in an international conference again, because it's happening in South Africa, but it's with people from all over the continent. And it's obviously issues dealing with documentation and birth registration and IDs and all those kinds of civics related matters, and how the different continents the different countries in the continent can cooperate and learn from each other in that regard. And I've also got the conference details here, which I'll email to members if they want to look at that. But the committee will also be making plans. I think we're going to also try and organize invitations to the one in September particularly. Then you'll just see the various countries that are listed there and when their elections are going to be. And that's, from my side, all that we have. And I'll hand it over to you for what happens now.
Thank you, Mr. Adam. Honorable members, that's our draft business plan prepared by our support staff, Mr. Salmon and Mr. Timatonzi here. So we are to discuss on the business plan, and also to take the plan to our parties to discuss, and maybe next week come and adopt, do the additions and the subtractions, and then adopt the business plan as a plan of the committee. I noticed Honorable McIntosh.
Madam Chair, thank you. Thank you to our researcher and to our secretary for this plan. It's certainly a great taking out of our responsibility. Just two comments, and they're not criticisms. I think we should understand that the National Development Plan vision is, in a sense, what has now been listed here as the diagnostic elements, in the sense that It's a work in progress. Minister Manuel and the commissioners are asking for feedback still. It's very much draft, but their diagnostic element was, this makes the points. But I think once the plan, which should be, well, it's going to carry on and being revised, but once it is more finalized, then I think we could perhaps plan our activities on it. But some things could change, although these are observations they've already made. Then the other question I just have is, in terms, and I can get a bit confused because you're jumping all the time. On oversee and scrutinize executive action. You know, Madam Chair, when people say to me, what do you do in Parliament? I mean, what's your responsibility? I say, look, we do basically four things. We pass legislation. We hold the executive to account. And perhaps most important is we oversee the budget. And to me, that is actually a critical component. How do we spend the money? Where is it spent? Right, everything else flows from that. And then, of course, the fourth one is to represent the people and to convey to Parliament. But I just am concerned under point 2 or 4.2 core objectives. And we do have, as they scrutinise ENE, MTEF budget allocations. And, Madam Chair, I mean, maybe I'm just being picky and spitting, hair-splitting, but to me, the budget, which is a huge redistribution of wealth every year. They take it, the state, from the taxpayers, and then they redistribute it and administer it. To me, that should be possibly more emphasized and maybe top of the list rather than just underneath the scrutinized fans. But I think there's certainly a lot to chew on here, and if we can apply this, I feel quite exhausted. I don't know how I could do anything else in Parliament except work for DHA's PC. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I want to echo and congratulate the authors of the document. Thank you very much for the hard work. What I did want to just, because I'm aware of the parliamentary processes and budgets and so forth, there are a lot of interesting suggestions, like attending conferences, and I would personally be very interested in, for example, going to watch other elections in other parts of the world, particularly Africa. But I mean, these have budgetary and other implications. So I wonder if we couldn't ask, I'm not sure who it is, but I'm guessing it's our researcher, to investigate this, because there are already processes in Parliament where various political parties send delegates to these elections. And I'm guessing that they wouldn't send Home Affairs PC members in addition. So it might require sort of talking to whips and so forth. But I think that's an important part if we're going to make these things happen, like these conferences and overseeing these elections. A compromise, Chair, would be if we can't... I don't see us attending all these elections, because that's all we end up doing. But certainly we can ensure that throughout the year, each member of the committee has an opportunity to be part of the delegations that go and oversee these elections. Perhaps that could be done, but obviously it has to be dealt with, I'm guessing, through chief whips and the chief whips officers and various whips in various parties. So that could be sort of factored in, but certainly I'm supportive of all that's been put here. And I'm just keen to then, I'm guessing, Chair, that you would sit with our research and other people to then actually put in dates and try and fit all these things in throughout the year. And I just want to echo Honourable McIntosh. I don't know if we actually quite honestly will be able to do so much. So we might have to prioritise and do what we can. I mean, the reality is there's only a certain number of weeks in a year. And on top of that, we also have constituency times and all sorts of other things going on. It's a very ambitious document, and I wish we could do it all, but I just suspect we may not. So I would suggest, if I may, that perhaps we prioritise certain things, and perhaps that be tabled for the next meeting. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I must say, in qualifying the statements made by my colleagues, the document is well put, and thanks to our researcher, Mr. Simon. My point is with regard to the one that we had last year, the strategic plan that we had from the committee, where we also are indicated that we need to familiarize ourselves with international legislation and also ensure that, among other things, legislation that governs the coordination and the running of elections in the SADC region, so that you are then able to once more when we engage on these trips, because there was also a training which members were asked to forward their names and make them physical to train them on the oversight, which some of us did attend, where members from the various parties were present, not necessarily from the Home Affairs Committee. So sometimes that also does make some form of a glitch in terms of who should be attending. Because if we sit in the Home Affairs Committee but don't take charge of some of the responsibilities, for instance, as the one of attending these training sessions, then we cannot be the best or the most qualified people to attend, because the oversight and the management of elections is something different. And because you need to conduct yourself in a particular way, and so it's a matter of individuals taking interest. But I think we need to make that case, a strong case, that this committee should be considered in the election monitoring and observer mission. So the other area is that obviously we are going to comment. I think we come back and then discuss this matter. The other area which might be of much interest, which has not taken a very high priority in the document, is the area of marine control and the security of the marine, the maritime area. So that is a space that seems to be very much of a challenge, which perhaps if it takes priority among other things, it will help us. As for the National Development Plan, I'm sure, Che, even though you were not present during the budget vote and even during the briefing, the only committee that seems to have been exemplary is this committee in terms of the turnaround strategy. And I think we should actually take accolades and be proud of ourselves. It doesn't matter which party you represent, but we worked very hard for the past 2.5 years until now, where even though it was not always easy, but we made sure that we engaged, we agree and disagree, but the objective was common and the vision, the mission was common. That's why today we can proudly say we are very much proud, and we appreciate the fact that we have contributed so much with the committee and of course the department, that now everybody says our turnaround strategy is an example, they wish to learn, but to what extent do we own it? So I think that is one thing that we should take pride in ensuring that every member understands exactly what we have done and where we are and the legislation that we've passed in the past year or so. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, honorable members, for your input. I think also one area which I think we are lacking is with regard to the annual reports of the department, because we never, sit and discuss them to see what was achieved, what was not achieved by the department. I think we need to do that. It's quite disturbing because we get the strategic plans every year and we just take them and continue without assessing as to what was achieved, what was not achieved. Any more inputs on our business plan? Okay, if we do not have any more hands, honorable members, I'm sure it's for us to further deliberate or ponder on the document as presented to us by our researcher and the secretary, and then do our additions and subtractions so that next week when we meet we can add and subtract and adopt our committee plan. Okay, Adam?
Ma'am, I just want to indicate in response to Honourable De Freitas about the election timetables, it's not that we want to attend all of these, it's that this was just a list of ones that we could possibly attend. And we spoke to the chairperson about it before, and you said you wanted to suggest that we can focus on one or two or just one for the year. I think the chairperson said that the possibility would be that in the August Kenya elections could be one, or the September Angola elections. Just because those are the ones where we have time on the parliamentary program, and because they're also in the SADC region, so they're going to be, particularly the Angola one is going to be quite an important one. So those are the ones that we could possibly move towards. So that was just a suggestion.
Yeah, I also think it's important that we speak to our different twists, like Honorable De Freitas has said, that we do need to participate more in the election observer mission, because it's part of our work, it falls within our mandate. I will try to meet with our chair of chairs to discuss the issue of observer missions, though I've been discussing this, I don't know how many times, with him, to say that this is the mandate of the Home Affairs. So Home Affairs should be involved, should be included in observer missions of the elections where they are taking place, but it seems it's difficult for us to get the nodding from the chair of chairs or people who are responsible for that. But we will keep on knocking on the doors so that to trouble them to actually ensure that they are aware or they take us seriously, that we do need our at least two or one member to go to such missions, and that will be okay because our members should get exposure as to what is happening, how to maybe SADC conduct such elections, and what is expected of you if you are in the team. What are the do's and don'ts? You know, so I will continue to knock on the doors of the people who are responsible for such trade. Honorable McIntosh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think you've made excellent suggestions there. I think the chances are that if there's an observer mission, what one can push for is that they try to include a member always from the Home Affairs PC. I've been actually on two observer missions. In 2000, I was part of a parliamentary observer mission to the 2000 Zimbabwe elections, which was led by a well-known politician called Tony Yengeni. It was a very interesting trip. I also visited another one in Zambia. But being an observer in elections, you're right, Madam Chair, one needs to get a bit of training, understand what you're doing, and there's a big body of knowledge internationally to observe elections. But I do think ourselves having the responsibility for our IEC and so on, or the EC now, I think that it could be very helpful for input if one or other of us at any stage can get on one of these observer missions. Although I must tell you, it's not always easy. You sometimes go into the bundles, and I know that my colleague Manny is going to go to Mali, because I'm sure that'll be a very lively election. it's not always an easy job to be an election observer, and you do need training because you've got to understand what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. The other thing that I did not pick up in the presentation is the visit to entities. I know it might be under oversight or whatever, but I think it's important that we actually understand these particular entities we have, the insight of them, and be able to, as we discuss, we have a picture in terms of what is happening there. And also the inland port of entries, your airport, because we normally tend to go to the border. Thank you, Chair.
Now another thing, Honourable Marcella raised is the issue of maritime. Is it visiting, what do we call them? Next to the sea?
The harbour.
We haven't there, haven't visited those, I mean the harbour.
We're actually building a new office now at the Cape Town Harbour, so just, yeah, maybe that's a good one to go to.
Yeah, so we need that also. Honourable Kam?
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, I'm late. I had a special rules committee that was called at the last minute. I'm not sure whether that is included here, but I did ask Eddie to also inquire from the department to provide us with the so-called, whatever you want to call it, international calendar of conferences and stuff like that. There are numerous conferences and stuff like that taking place. Is that, you know, does it form part of what we should consider here or not? Because we're missing out on conferences on refugees and UN initiatives in that regard all the time, and we hear at the very last second about some of these things, and it's impossible to attend.
Yeah, I'm sure Mr. Salmon has briefed us on some of the conferences, international conference for this day. We were actually saying that this one that is going to be held in South Africa, which the minister mentioned, I'm sure in her speech, if I remember, we asked the department that the portfolio committee be invited, and we attend as observers because it's a minister's conference. So we want to get exposure to such conferences because we've never attended a single international conference. So it will be good if we are given that the opportunity to attend and just be observers as to what is happening and the discussions that are taking place there.
Just as regards to that and the last minute, there is a conference, that's an African Renaissance conference that's happening at the end of the month. And if the committee wants to attend, we'd have to make plans from now already, because the final deadline for delegates participating is the 16th, which is next week Wednesday, next week Thursday. So members need to consider whether we want to attend. And then maybe come up, if we can find out by this week whether members want to attend, so that we can make arrangements. Because it's at the end of the month, but we need to get delegates in. Yeah. It's on a Thursday and a Friday.
Yeah.
So in KZN.
Is it going to touch on issues of home affairs?
Yeah, particularly cross-border, like improving cross-border trade and cross-border tourism, and the home affairs component is about improving international border cooperation, also establishing connections with South Africa and neighboring countries in terms of like one-stop border posts, that kind of stuff. And there'll be delegates from all over the continent relating to that kind of stuff there. So yeah, it could be very interesting. But what I can do is I'll put forward the description of the conference to all the members, and then they can discuss in their fora, and then we just need to find out as soon as possible whether we think we should go or not.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Salmon. Honourable members, I'm sure we have come to the end of our meeting. Not forgetting that we go back to go and discuss the document further and do additions and subtractions so that we come and adopt that our business plan for next week in our meeting. On that note, the meeting is adjourned.
Adam,
I'm waiting for other members, but I'll do the next week. I'll just the one that we have.
The African Renaissance thing. Is it organized by states or is
the
private sector thing?
And the research was the provincial.